Number 9 in How to Understand the King James 1611 Bible. Part 1 was about the Scriptures. Part 2 is the fact that the King James Bible is the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Then the third week we went over rightly dividing, what that means and how you do that. It's a very simple thing, not rightly dividing verses, but rightly dividing what? Books, according to Paul. Paul wrote those. Then we looked at the past before Paul, which was Old Testament, and the Gospels, which is still Old Testament, doctrinally, because there has to be the death of the testator. So the New Testament does not even begin doctrinally until Jesus Christ has died and rose again, that kind of a thing. And so then we also looked at the Great Commission, which was just passing on what Jesus told them to do in Matthew and Mark, which included signs and wonders and poison and snakes and healings and the whole thing, tongues and the whole deal. And I don't know why people still to this day, as brave and strong as they are with the King James Bible, do they go to the Great Commission, because although signs, we don't do signs. It's just, it's an amazing thing to me. Then we looked at Paul's verses, sermon number 5, all the verses that talk about Paul's calling as such to the Gentiles, Jews as well, but to his actual calling was to Gentiles at the end there. We looked at, there's a whole string of those verses. I mean, how you deny those? Well, I heard how you deny those verses today, and somebody says, I just don't believe Paul. I don't believe Paul has anything to do with this stuff. Well, that's crazy. Right there in the book from Romans to Philemon, that's like most of the New Testament. Right there, it's the part of my Bible that sticks up higher and is dirty. Well, that's Paul, so you can't skip that stuff in that Bible. It's amazing. Oh, I forgot about that. Yep. I thought, well, there you are. See, I finally leave you to do this. Oh, hi, how you doing over there, folks? Looks like I can probably go a little higher. I'm not sure. Here we go. You got the tech man coming over. The water heater man. Is it higher? Should it go higher? Oh, you just like that? I didn't have to do something to make it. There we go. Now we're back. You were wondering, the piano was talking, weren't they, out there? That's me. Right on the edge, ready to fall off and splat. Okay, then we, after Paul, we went into the books of Hebrews to Jew. We touched those a little bit. Tons of verses in there that talks about that's to the Jews. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. That is not written to us. Most of our guys go to Peter, which is kind of, that's just written to Jews. They had to have faith and they had to walk the walk to be holy. Then this morning in Sunday school, we looked at the reaction that Paul received from people when he went around telling people what the risen Christ had told him to say. And the first comment I made was they recognized that he had changed. Wasn't this because he was saying something different? He had changed. And that's what we have to shoot for ourselves. And this morning in the regular service, we started looking at the mission details of Paul's ministry. We looked at the fact that he was called as such to bring salvation to the Gentiles. We looked at the fact that he was, as we still are to this day, feed the church of God. And this is what a local church is, as well as the body of Christ. That's the church of God. And then he designed, as for what a better term, I guess, he redesigned, or whatever, the local church. Because the local church was designed after Acts chapter 2, having favor with all the people, trying to bring lost people into the church. That was what it was in the Great Commission. Paul is to feed the church of God. You come here for feeding because you are church of God. And we don't gear this church, our local church, our design, things we do. We don't gear them to the lost world to get them to come in so we can get them saved and then tell them the truth. We don't want to have favor with all the community. We don't go out of our way to be offensive to them, but it's not our goal to somehow get them in under some little trick and then try to witness to them. Because see, if you get them in, they don't dare tell them the truth or they'll leave. And that's why they don't continue with doctrinal stuff when they get into that sort of a thing. So that's what we've been over so far. And tonight we're just going to do part 2 of Part 2 of Unit 9 or Sermon 9. More of the mission details of Paul. And I'll finish up with one that I think is quite interesting. Let's just look at some real quick things. Let's go to Acts chapter 22. If you're taking notes and don't want to copy them off the internet, or you don't want to pay me $25 for a free copy, this is point number 4 if you're taking notes on your own. Point number 4. And again, most of these verses we've seen before. But But what we're doing is rehashing. We are reviewing, trying to put in an order a little bit here of how to present this if a time ever comes about for people to understand what we're saying here. Acts chapter 22, I'll say this. Point 4 would be Paul's ministry was to tell us what he sees and what he hears from the risen Christ. That's his ministry. Paul said to follow Paul, follow Paul as he followed Christ. And all we have to tell people is we're following the risen Christ, not the earthly Jesus. That's all it is. And I know it makes sense to some folks when they first finally hear it, but they really don't know what it means till we get into it. It's quite shocking, actually, but the risen Christ has a whole lot more things to say than the Jesus did to the Jews. And we learn that from Paul. For example, Acts chapter 22, verse 14. We did that verse this morning. Verse 14, and he said, I miss Sue going, yes, that's the one. So, Jimmy?
That's the one.
Thank you. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. This is Ananias talking to Paul at that little scene there. That thou shouldst know his will and see that just one, capitalized, there's a point for that, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So he's going to see him and hear him. And it says, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And that's one of the better verses. I hadn't seen it until today or to talk about it. He's going to hear and see from the just one, and then he's going to be his witness to what he saw and heard. Paul's our witness to what the risen Christ wants to tell us. And then look at Acts chapter 26. And that's all we should have to say. We're in with Paul. I mean, that's just bottom line. Then we follow the books that Paul wrote. But anyway, Acts 26:16. Again, this is Paul's testimony to Agrippa, but he's telling what was said here, what Jesus said. But rise and stand upon thy feet, verse 16. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So we're counting on the fact that Paul does see the risen Savior, and whatever it is he sees and hears, he passes on to us. That's what Christianity, godliness, is supposed to be. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1. These things that Paul's going to tell us, and the things that we're going to read in a King James Bible as the inspired, preserved Word of God, that which is perfect has come. We have it right here. What Paul saw, what Paul heard, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, well, help open our eyes. Now, when you want to tell somebody that they need to see something, they need to understand, they need to have their eyes opened, what you need to open them with is what Paul preaches and teaches. Because Paul preaches and teaches the risen Savior. Preaching the Great Commission will not open anybody's eyes at all. It'll keep them closed, actually. Remember, Paul warns about another Jesus. So he says in Ephesians 1:18, just the first part of that for tonight, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's one of the things Paul prayed for the people. He wanted them to have their eyes enlightened. We look at Acts 26:18. I know you know this verse. To open their eyes. Acts 26, I guess I'll let you go there. Slow me down a little bit. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, he says, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now we have a possibility. I don't know who's on there tonight. Jason, you said, was. Anybody else that we don't know their name? Okay. Anyway, those possibly are some people that go out and they try to get people to see what the truth is and they try to tell people. Now, we're learning here, we're seeing here tonight that if we want people to see something, they want them to see the truth, et cetera, they have to be taught Paul's preaching. They have to be taught the risen Savior. So these are the verses to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's exactly what people want those people out there to do. Open their eyes and see what's going on here and turn from darkness to light. It says from the power of Satan unto God. Now note, it does not say unto the power of God. That's prayer power. That's the power that people think Jesus gives them so they can do all these things. And that doesn't come until the tribulation when the Spirit of God is upon their flesh. They'll have that power. They'll have to because it's never been done without Him before. So it's being turned unto God. Now, God has a power. God is God. And He'll show us that power in this Bible. And we need to do things. We need to change our lives, of course. But it does not say from the power of Satan unto the power of God. That's a modern Christian misnomer. I think that's the word. It's a modern Christian deceiving lie is what it is. Because people come out of there as Christians thinking they got all this power. And that's just not what Paul preaches at all. Look at verse 20. Towards the back part of that verse, it says that they should repent and turn to God. Yes, they should. And it says here, do works meet for repentance. That's part of what Paul wants people to see. And if they see, then they will repent and they will turn to God. And it says that they will do works meet for repentance. They'll do things that will show that they've changed their lives, they've repented. Not repenting to see. Okay? Now look at 2 Timothy 2:24. I was looking at this in more detail, again, more depth, I suppose, today. 2 Timothy 2:24. This ties in with that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Yes, our lives should show a change based on Paul's teachings, and we'll get into that in another session. But this 2 Timothy 2:24, look at this for a minute here. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will. We will be talking to people who are caught up in the snare of the devil. If you go out into the public, the whole world is just caught by the god of this world. They're in his snare, and he has them captive at his will. That's what it says. And we see there that these are the folks that have to recover themselves. We can't do it for them. We've learned that. But there's a word right in the middle, and that's that word if. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The way that we present this material, present these teachings, the way that we present Paul to people, they have to acknowledge the truth. So we go out there and we talk to people, or they go out there and they talk to people, and you talk to people, and the conversation just about always ends up talking about the Bible, the King James Bible. Because if they're Christians, they say, well, my Bible doesn't say that, you get into that. If they're not Christians, they say, where are you hearing this from? Well, my Bible. And how do you know that this is the Word of God? Through any different Bibles. You know what people will not do? They'll change their lives if they think it's hurting them or hurting their children, but they still will not acknowledge the truth. And if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, those are the people that can get out of the snare. They have to acknowledge the truth. And in that case, God even gives them repentance. It's like the power of God. Okay, people want to say from the power of Satan to the power of God. No, this Bible is the power of God. God's power comes through this book. That's a magic that we get. It's something that's in there that the Spirit of God is there. It works effectually in them that believe. And it goes on. But it says right there, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And those are the folks that we don't need to strive with. They've acknowledged the truth. And who is it that we usually have trouble talking with people? They get upset or they get angry or whatever. Who's that? Those are people that would not acknowledge the truth. What's the truth? Thy word is truth. What's thy word? King James Bible. If they won't acknowledge this King James Bible as a word of truth, there's going to be no repentance, no change other than some fake thing. And they'll stay in their little snare and they'll strive and they'll argue and they get angry and the whole deal. I just reading that, say, notice on that word if. That word if sure is in a strange place grammatically. But they have to acknowledge the truth. God will give them repentance. And then we show them the book, right? To divide it, and their lives should change. That's the way it works. Now, number six. Something else here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, Paul is going to show us what he heard and saw from the risen Christ. Paul is going to show us how to open our eyes and see what the risen Christ wants us to see, because he's telling it through Paul. And now we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 31, and we'll get into this gift thing here in a couple of minutes, but he does say, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Going to Paul is a more excellent way than getting stuck in Acts chapter 1 through 8. Going to Paul's teachings is a more excellent way than going and getting stuck in the Gospels. Paul's way is a more excellent way than getting stuck in the Old Testament. I mean, that's the way it comes out to be. Why? Because the more excellent way is the way of Jesus. Yes, I am the way, the truth, the life. But a more excellent way of that is to teach about the risen Jesus Christ. Not what he says in John 14. What he says in John 14 was to the Jews. What he says to us is through Paul. It's a more excellent way. Then we see in Acts chapter 18, point number 7. We're going quick to get to number 10 tonight. Point number 7. Along the lines of a more excellent way, we see in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, that this is where a little home church family comes in and gets involved with somebody here named Apollos. And we see in verse 24 that this is a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. I always say that there's a clue there for something. An eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. See, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. That was good. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, which is still preached in churches all over the place in this country. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And we know that perfectly, again, it's based on 2 Chronicles 8:16, talks about it's finished, it's complete. So Aquila and Priscilla, who were working with Paul, had a more perfect way. It was the way of God. There's more there. Listen, Apollos, there's so much more now for you to learn. Do you know that this Jesus that you're talking about here, he is risen? And he's talked to Paul, and here's what he's taught us about the law, about inheritance, about just all this stuff. And Apollos apparently got excited because he just went and convinced the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And again, that was the issue in the gospel. So, we see that Paul shows us what the risen Christ showed him and told him. We see that Paul shows people how to open their eyes and have their eyes enlightened. We see that Paul's way is a more excellent way of the risen Savior. We see that Paul talks about the way of God more perfectly. And then we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, point number 8, Ephesians 3, verse 8, we see where it says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now there is something else you cannot get in the Gospels. There is something there you cannot get in the Hebrew books from Hebrew to Jude. You can't get that there. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And we'll talk about those on another day. Just wanted to drop the line tonight. He says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those are things we learn from Paul and Paul only. Remember, I've got that tract that says the Christ that Paul preaches. You don't find those things anywhere else but in Paul's books. You don't find them in the Gospels. You don't find them in Acts 1 through 8. You don't even find them in the early part of Acts of 9 through 11, 10, 11, because that's all transitional stuff in there. So, yeah, Paul shows us the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, here's another good one. Number 9, look at Romans 15. We won't go into detail with this one. Romans 15, verse 15. Nobody's whining about the sound, were they? Okay, I think it was working. This button looks the same, either up or down. It's really frustrating. Romans 15, verse 15. Now, this is quite a deal here if you look at this closely. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ," there it is again, "to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God." Now look at this. "That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." You see what Paul does there? You know what he says there? He says that he goes to the Gentiles, and because of Paul, because of the risen Christ to Paul, and we read his material, and we see what it is to truly be saved, to have the real Jesus instead of another Jesus he worries about, or another spirit, or another gospel. And you learn the things that Paul would have us do. We actually are acceptable to be offered up to God. Because up until this point, they couldn't be. Their belief was based, their judgment was going to be based on their conscience. And Paul says what about conscience? Their conscience was seared. And this was a long time ago when their conscience was seared. You know what we have today? You know what we don't have today? We don't have a conscience. It doesn't bother people to do what they're doing. It just does not bother... I don't get into this thing. It does not bother ladies to go some places and do things that they shouldn't be doing in front of men. There's no conscience there anymore. There's no conscience for men to go places where there's women and to get into an argument with a woman. There's no conscience. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And vice versa. That's part three of the modesty thing I'm afraid to preach, Jim. It's coming. What Paul talks about how we should be amongst each other. There's no conscience anymore about mixed anything. There's no conscience about things that's going on in this world. We're so seared anymore. So that's the Gentile thing. So Paul comes along and he shows us these things, what Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, taught to him. And it's actually making us acceptable. Not in works. We're acceptable because of our faith in Jesus Christ and the risen Savior. Then we learn that we can learn how to please God. So He makes our soul acceptable right off the bat by cleaning it. Then He shows us what we should be doing that is acceptable unto God. Remember that thing even says in Philippians 1, I think it's 9 or 10 right in there, that we're supposed to grow in judgment. We're supposed to be willing to realize, you know, this was good yesterday, but it's not right today, and you quit doing it. We're supposed to grow in that department. That's making us acceptable. Because when the judgment seat of Christ rolls around, He's going to take our works and He's going to make those acceptable. Whatever doesn't work, He burns them. Whatever was done based on Paul, it'll make it. So it makes us acceptable. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something there? I mean, going to Paul will take a Gentile in this world and if they look to Paul and his teachings, they'll make them acceptable unto God. No wonder they don't like Paul. And again, it's not a works basis to be acceptable. It's you do these things because He's made you acceptable. And then He cleans up our works too. Okay, that's number 9. Here's the one I want to talk about tonight. Romans chapter 1. This is something else Paul says he does. And I looked at this and I thought, you know, here's another case of where during Paul's time he was on this earth compared to the time the King James Bible's on this earth. And here's what separates us from just about anybody anymore. Notice it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. And he says to these people, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I might be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Okay, now what is this? The spiritual gift thing. Before we go to that, just notice it says there again in verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." So he wanted to give them something. He wanted to impart into them a gift. It's a spiritual gift. And we know that Paul's blessings are spiritual blessings. We know it's a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, not meat and drink, that sort of a thing. So we know that. But if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about spiritual gifts. Now, this is one of probably the most confusing aspects of Paul, because if you study Corinthians, you see that they're speaking in tongues. There was healing. I mean, the whole shebang is taking place in there somewhere. And that's Paul. This is why the hyper-grace guys, what I call the grace abusers, Paul followers, whatever they are out there, the mid-Acts crowd and everything, they don't get into the standards and the teachings of Timothy, through Timothy. But they also tell people to stay out of Corinthians because obviously that can't be what Paul wants us to do because it's got all these things in there and it's wrong. Well, their conclusion is right, but their explanation is wrong. Sure, these things are a sign, and we don't do signs. Those are for the Jews. And there were Jews present, so he did these things because there were Jews present, no problem. That's by the time he was done with Acts 28, he doesn't do these things. Okay, we can deal with that. We can understand that you'll see that as you study these things. But I want to show you, a much better explanation. Remember he said in Romans 1:11, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." Now we see over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, oh, here we go. "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." That's odd. There's people out there that say that and they don't mean it. So we're talking about a real spiritual thing here. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, how they're given out by the same Lord, but the same Lord. And there are divisions of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So we'll talk about that some other day. Here's what I want you to see. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay? So this is back in the day. Now, I'll kind of get the head of the conclusion here. Remember, they didn't have a Bible. So God was, through Paul, going to impart these spiritual gifts to these people. You can do that. Make sense? So we will talk about in the past. Look at what they are. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Remember, no Bible. There are some people that God gave them wisdom. He gave it to them. In what? But in part. But whatever He gave them, He gave it to them. And Paul wanted these people to get this stuff, these spiritual gifts. And some of the people got the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. There it is again. By the same Spirit, of course. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. By the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Whoa. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, their interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. God gave those things to the people He gave them to. Different ones got different gifts. Now, is this what Paul's talking about? Sure it would have been during his time. Remember he said, he wanted to see his people. This is Paul in his day. Yes, I want to see these people. I want to give them, I want to impart unto them a spiritual gift. Because God was going to do this right here, Spirit of God, through Paul to these people. Well, now, if we're going to be Paul followers, I mean, I would certainly think that these spiritual gifts would have been given to us. Somebody in here must have the gift of prophecy. Somebody here must have the gift of healing or speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues or whatever. Knowledge, some of you get knowledge. Yeah, you know where we get that stuff? Today? Just look at them again. Word of wisdom. Where do you go to get the wisdom that God has for us? In that Bible. You don't go into that Bible, you don't get any wisdom. Other than it's the worldly wisdom that Paul warns about in Colossians. How about the word of knowledge? How are you going to know anything about God or the risen Savior or the earthly Jesus or the Ten Commandments or the tribulation? Where are you going to learn that stuff from? You don't read your Bible, you're not going to learn anything. Now, a pastor can come along and preach to you, but how do you know what he's saying is true? False Christ, false gospels all over the place. Faith. Faith cometh by what? We actually get our faith from this Bible. Healing. That's a physical healing thing. You got a headache, you ever put a Bible under your pillow? Did you ever notice it doesn't work? If it works, it's because it put your neck in the right angle and it worked, but it's not because it was a Bible. You don't want your house to be robbed, you're going to lay a Bible open in the kitchen by the door? He'll just take the Bible too. I mean, this is a spiritual thing here. Working of miracles. This Bible, if you think about it, has made miracles in people's lives. Not some magical miracle that you take your Bible and you dip it into this water and it turns you from water to blood. Oh, wait a minute. This is what they say. That they take the Word of God and they speak over this water, and now this water used in the baptism will make you a child of God. They almost take this thing and dip it in there, don't they? But they don't believe this is the Word of God. So, prophecy, preaching. How are you going to know what to preach if you don't read, rightly divide, and study your Bible? And God will give you things as you do that. I understand that. But it's because you're in here that He'll give you this stuff in the time that you're ready to understand what you're learning. Discerning of spirits. How do you know whether something's a right or wrong? Based on a rightly divided Bible. Diverse kinds of tongues. That's a tough one. But if you think about it, what's the tongue we need to listen to? English. And what about these folks in foreign countries? You know what they need to learn? I believe this. They need to learn English. If they can't learn English, they better have a missionary that understands a rightly divided Bible and understands their language and tells that to them. Now, if they can take a King James Bible and write it into their language, that'll be a good thing to have for them. But it won't be the inspired, perfect Bible because you can't translate them into different languages, word for word. It can't be done. How are they going to hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to go into these countries and tell them what Paul talks about, this risen Savior. They need to learn about God. Then they need to learn about the law, because the law is a schoolmaster. It shows people they need Jesus Christ. Then you tell them they need Jesus Christ, and then you tell them that they need to know about the risen Savior, that He's risen, and this is what they need to be taught. Missionaries are supposed to be teaching Paul's gospel about the risen Savior. That's what they need to be doing. I don't know of any yet. We'd support them if we could find them. I thought we had one, and that turned out to be a fraud. It turned out to be a fake. So who are our missionaries? Floyd's our missionaries. Clarence was witnessing to a bunch of men tonight. He called me this afternoon. He wanted to talk to those men about Paul and the Great Commission. Why do we follow the Great Commission? Why do we support a missionary who goes out and teaches a Great Commission when we're supposed to be teaching Paul? Well, I'm sure Clarence is going to make a lot of friends tonight. Jason's been talking to street preaching buddies about this whole thing, that we need to teach them about the goodness of God. And they're seeing this sort of a thing. But is this what Paul is talking about today? That he would impart unto us this word of wisdom, this word of knowledge, this faith, this healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues? Well, we know that a lot of that stuff is for signs, right? And we don't do signs because that's for Jews. So yeah, that's a good explanation. But there's a better one. Look at Romans chapter 12. There's a much better explanation. We see in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body," here's the body of Christ, and this is what Paul's presented, this is what Paul has taught to people, the body of Christ, the church of God, no longer a Jew, no longer a Gentile, but the church of God. Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office," well, that's true, "so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Okay, so we got differences in here. That's why we're still one here. "Having then gifts," there we are, that gifts again, "differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Those are gifts. You look at that and you realize, you know, there are some people today that are good at prophecy. They're good at preaching. They're good at this sort of a thing. There are some people that are better at ministering to others than somebody else. There are people that are better teachers than others. There just are. There are some who are good at exhorting a verse, exhorting a series of verses. There are some people that are good at giving, and it doesn't bother them where it goes. They just give, it says right there, let them do with simplicity. Write the check, and you don't worry about it. There are those that can show mercy. Well, somebody's either hurt them or whatever the situation would be, they can show mercy with cheerfulness. Some people can do that better than others. And he talks about those as being gifts. Wow. It's Romans, and it's all based on grace that God has given up. Well, we know that Paul's teachings is the dispensation of grace. See, those make sense. Don't those make sense? Prophecy, ministering, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy with cheerfulness, those fit. Those make sense. Those other ones we can preach away because of doctrinal issues, but there's something else. What's that something else? 1 Corinthians 13:10. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:10. This is where we call beyond Paul. We preach that you should follow Paul's teachings, of course. But there's places in Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, that there are things that Paul did that he didn't do with the Gentiles only. And we know that back in those early days, they were given wisdom. They were given knowledge. Yeah, they were. Only in part. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth. Charity is always important. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. And so we go back and we see these things that were in Paul's early ministry. Man, Paul teaches how to speak in tongues. If you're going to speak in tongues, here's the rules and regulations. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you're going to do this, here's what you're supposed to be aware of. A, you ladies aren't supposed to do it. Who does all the speaking in tongues in the history of the tongue movement? The ladies. Now the men are getting caught up, but they're getting caught up in that sort of a thing. Ladies aren't supposed to do that. There's where the silent and church thing comes in as far as that part goes. There's some other areas, but isn't that amazing? But that was during Paul's time. And as he pulled away from the Jews, these things disappeared as well, just because they were there for signs. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, we know in Chronicles, again, perfect meaning finished and complete, then that which is in part shall be done away. So those things that were imparted as spiritual gifts in those days are no longer imparted. They're in this Bible. And what about those things in Romans chapter 12? Prophecy, ministering, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Every one of them, we don't take the time for study tonight, but every one of those is scripturally taught and presented in Paul's writings, not as imparted spiritual gifts. You can prophesy, but you do it with your Bible. You can minister, but you do it with your Bible. You teach, but you teach your Bible. You exhort out of your Bible. You give based on the Scriptures. You rule. Even says they're ruling. I think I missed that one. Ruling. Based on scriptural teachings. You show mercy based on scriptural teachings. Because what do you have to do after a while with mercy? After a while, you who can show mercy with cheerfulness, after a while you see that you're just enabling, you're not helping the situation, you've got to let it go. Avoid, withdraw, and go down that whole plan. So, even that's covered in Paul's teachings. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, we ought not get confused about these gifts that Paul's giving out. He's imparting to people, because in Corinthians, those went out when the King James Bible came out. That's what I believe. I don't believe it was in AD 90 when the Bible was canonized, because there's so many changes that have been made since that came about. And that in 1611, it's done. It's complete. Even King James said that. They got some good quotes from him. He said, it's done. This is the Word of God. And he understood rightly dividing. It was amazing to read his stuff, but not tonight. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at 1 through 6. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Again, this is during his day. But rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And we know that Paul came with a teaching about what the church should be. We know that Paul came with specific ministerial things to teach and to preach that would edify. Paul was all about edifying. He was not about this spiritual stuff, but he was at the beginning because of the Jews as signs, which we'll say that 1,000,000,000 times. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, Paul's already tearing down this whole spiritual thing here. Look at verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So there's one angle. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So what do we have here? A church is designed for those who what? Believe. There's no need to do the tongue thing because it's for those who don't believe and it's a sign. That's not what Paul preaches in his ministry. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, that's what we do, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. He'll see the truth. So we see this. Paul wants to impart spiritual gifts. That's one of the things you will see when you look at Paul's ministry. But that particular stash right there was given to them then. And we can't claim those because of this Bible. But those that are spoken of in Romans are there because they're all through the Bible preaching to Paul. So we have people who are better at prophecy than others. You know, some of you have, remember the pray, preach, or die thing? Some of you have said, I can't do this. Why do I have to do this? I can't get up here and do this. Now, some people have to be encouraged and kicked and made to do that, and they find out they're a preacher someday, but how do you know until you try it? But I'll tell you, I've heard too many guilt trips about that whole thing. Some men, that's just not their bag. Ministering to others. Some people are selfish. They can't minister to other people. They can hardly handle themselves. They expect people to minister to them. They don't know what it's even like to care about somebody else. They just care about themselves. And there are some people that will do anything for somebody else. They'll minister to people. Teach. Some are better at teaching than others. Some exhort better. Some give. Some rule. Some show mercy better than others. It's like something that God has given to us by looking to Paul. But he doesn't give us how to make miracles. He doesn't give us how to have healing. And that's a different set of gifts. You get that? That's interesting. That's an interesting way to see that. Because Paul said, for how long do you see that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift? He doesn't do that to us. That's going beyond Paul. Because if you're not careful, you'll claim some things in Paul's early ministry that make you sound very Pentecostal. Because that's where they're getting this stuff from. And that's where the devil steps in and tricks people when it comes to the tribulational stuff as we're getting ready to do it. So there you go. There are some things that Paul does within his ministry that are detailed as we summarize them. Okay, amen. There you go.